Hi, this is Jerry and Esther Hicks, and we're about to read to you the newest book from the Teachings of Abraham. The subject is Relationships and the Law of Attraction, and the book has been titled The Vortex, where the Law of Attraction assembles all cooperative relationships. And this is my preface. You're about to delve into the subject of relationships from a different perspective, perhaps, than you've previously considered. The teachings contained in this book have to do with aspects of our relationships that are far broader and deeper than security-loving girl meets freedom-loving boy. They fall in love. They move in together. They work to earn money to acquire stuff. They, in most cases, have children. They continue to work full-time and play part-time. They usually attempt to train their children to match or fit in with the prevailing cultural, social patterns of politically correct words, behaviors, and beliefs. And if they live long enough, they retire from working full-time, hopefully to play full-time, and then they move on to whatever. Although the questions and subsequent answers in the book will certainly guide you to a deeper and more practical understanding of those typical family relationships, our intention here is to give you a more conscious awareness of the potential depth and breadth of the vast network of relationships that, on a practical, day-to-day basis, affect your swirling vortex of natural well-being. At the hub of these teachings of Abraham, not the biblical or presidential Abraham, is a profound concept. The basis of life is freedom. The result of life is expansion. And the purpose of life is joy. And so as you play the words from this book across the life that you have already knowledgeably experienced, the thrust of these teachings will be felt by you as an empowering sense of clarity as you discover concepts whereby you can more deliberately create the relationships that feel best to you. Simply put, regarding every relationship in which you are now or would like to be engaged, the teachings of Abraham are being offered here to guide you to allowing yourself more of what you do want and less of what you don't want. This is the third of four scheduled books in the Law of Attraction series. Our first, The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham, was originally published in book form in 2006, and it quickly became our second book to make the New York Times bestseller list. Money and the Law of Attraction, released in 2008, was the second, and Spirituality and the Law of Attraction, due to be released in 2011, will be the final book in this series. The material that was to later form our first Law of Attraction series book was first published in 1988, over 20 years ago, as part of two special subject cassette albums. These original 20 tapes outlined for the listeners practical perceptions of the relationships between the universal law of attraction and their finances, careers, bodily conditions, relationships. Our hundreds of questions and Abraham's forthcoming answers were focused on 20 practical topics about which people could learn to improve their allowance of their natural state of well-being. If you'd like to hear one of those original recordings detailing our Introduction to Abraham, you can find it's called the Introduction to Abraham recording, as a 70-minute free-to-listen-to download at our website, and that's www.abraham-hicks.com, or you can order the CD version from our San Antonio, Texas Business Center. Well, here's a footnote. Asking It's Given, our first Amazon.com bestseller, was published in 2004, and it was followed by four Abraham Hicks books, all published by Hay House Incorporated, that rapidly reached the New York Times bestseller list: The Amazing Power of Deliberate Intent in 2005, The Law of Attraction, The Basics in 2006, The Astonishing Power of Emotions in 2007, and then in August of 2008, Money and the Law of Attraction, Learning to Attract Wealth, Health, and Happiness, became the first of the Abraham Hicks books to reach the number one position on the New York Times bestseller list. It was in 2005, while conducting one of our Law of Attraction cruise seminars, that we were approached by Rhonda Byrne, an Australian television producer. She wanted us to allow her to create an Australian TV series based on the teachings of Abraham. And as a result of our ensuing contractual agreement, Rhonda brought her Australian film crew on board our 2005 Alaskan Law of Attraction cruise and filmed about 14 hours of seminar material. And as a result, in 2006, the basic tenet of our original 1988 album, The Law of Attraction, was used as the foundation for the original version of the phenomenally successful DVD movie and subsequent book, The Secret. Esther and I don't appear in the revised edition of The Secret. We can only be seen in the original version. But between the viral distribution of the original edition and the standard distribution of the revised expanded edition, The Secret has added a powerful impetus to the worldwide dissemination of Abraham's teachings regarding the universal law of attraction. And we are most appreciative that Rhonda fulfilled her dream of bringing an awareness of Abraham's basic law of attraction concepts to the world. For in doing so, she's instilled a belief and evoked an asking in the minds of millions of viewers who now have come to believe that they do have the ability to achieve better-feeling lives, and so they're now asking. And Abraham teaches us that asking is the first step in the creation process. And as they have asked, what they have asked for has been given. Their next step now will be to learn to allow themselves to receive that which has been given. If you were already feeling good when you found this book, then by utilizing these materials, your life can now, by your deliberate intention, spiral toward that which allows you to feel even better. However, if in this moment you're feeling less than good, or even if you think your life is as bad as it can possibly get, you can still learn perspectives here that can enable you to allow your life to begin to incrementally improve. Or you may be one of those rare ones who, from something you read here, receive a paradigm shift in your beingness that somehow propels you from a long-term feeling of powerlessness up into a fresh, long-term joyous alignment with your natural state of well-being. And once you reach that state, you'll feel like a magnet, attracting to yourself everything and every relationship to which you are a vibrational match. I've said that if I receive one practical idea that I can put into practice from a book, a lecture, or a visit with someone, it's well worth spending my time and or money, because a single new perspective can redirect my thoughts and thereby redirect my life. For instance, a minister friend, Chet Castelaw, said to me back in 1970, "Jerry, you'll never receive the kind of success you're saying you want." I asked him, "Why not?" And Chet responded, "Because you're critical of successful people." "Well," I said, "that's because they lie, cheat, and steal." And Chet said to me, "You could be critical of their lying, cheating, and stealing, but you're critical of their success at lying, cheating, and stealing. You can't be critical of huge success and achieve huge success." Well, there it was, just one idea, a different perspective that 38 years ago I immediately began to act on, which preceded a giant wave of what most would call coincidental events that carried me on, joyously, to receiving the essence of everything that I had ever wanted to be, do, or have. And our intention for you is that you will receive ideas from this book that will inspire within you new patterns of thought that will attract to you whatever brings you the most of whatever you want to be or do or have. In this relationships book, Abraham focuses the light of their broader perspective to reveal a wide array of flawed premises which most of us are living by relative to our varied relationships. And as you come upon these false premise segments, false relative to the natural laws of the universe, if you'll superimpose Abraham's perspective over your personal life experience, known only by you, and if you see room for improvement in your life, you will have the opportunity to shift your life from as good as it is right now to whatever you perceive as a better feeling experience. Now, here are a couple of examples of flawed premises under which I operated for many years. Note how these false beliefs caused me so much discontent. But even more important, take notice of how a simple change in my perspective led to an immediate, major, positive change in my life experience. My mother was a born, dyed-in-the-wool nonconformist. I, too, was born as an adamant nonconformist. For over 30 years, Mother tried, even violently, to get me to conform with what she wanted me to be. And every time I came into contact with her, I tried vehemently and defensively to get her to conform with how I wanted her to treat me. Also, I was always a bit embarrassed in public, but somehow proud of her obvious lack of conformity. And so for more than 30 years, every time we came together, we fought. But then, soon after my father died, I adopted a new premise. It came to me as a complete idea. The flawed premise each of us had been operating under for all those terrible years was, if I try hard enough, I can get a natural-born nonconformist to conform. And how was that working out? It wasn't. And so I adopted a new premise. Since I cannot control Mother, and Mother can't control me, I'll just continue to be the delightful, uncontrollable me that I am, and I will allow Mother to be my uncontrollable Mother. And since strangers find Mother's idiosyncrasies entertaining rather than repulsive, I'll look for and find entertainment in her differences. And we lived happily ever after. After 30 years of fighting, I decided to change to a new premise. I didn't ask her to change. And for the next 40 years, we never had another crossword. If it hadn't happened to me, I probably wouldn't have believed it possible, but it did happen. And I'll close this preface with one more personal premise experience. The abundance premise of those I associated with in my early days was that those of us who managed to remain poor would always be able to get through a needle's eye. But if we slipped up and were no longer poor, we would get so fat that we wouldn't be able to get through the eye of a needle, or something like that. It was a story we were taught in our church. Another premise that my associates lived by was, the rich get rich by taking, or somehow keeping, money away from us poor people. For instance, under that premise, if a rich person acquired a luxury automobile, then he or she was leaving less money or luxury for us poor, used economy car people. And so, operating under that flawed premise, I was unable to comfortably bring myself to potentially impoverish others by buying a luxury vehicle for myself. And then the idea of a universe of never-ending abundance somehow came to me. Another simple thought that I adopted and adapted that changed my life and the lives of those who may have been influenced by my example in a very dramatic way. My new premise was, when I buy a series of luxury vehicles, I'm creating jobs and redistributing money in a luxurious way. In other words, when I purchase an expensive vehicle, I create work for and redistribute many dollars to thousands of persons who made the vehicle possible. Some of them are rich. Some of them are on their way to rich, some have no intention of ever being rich, and some believe that being rich will restrict them from entering the eye of a needle. But every one of them has the option of improving their level of joy in some way, and each one of them, whether rich or poor, gained to some degree by my purchase of that vehicle. There was a luxury vehicle salesperson, the dealer, the prep team, the distributor, the wholesaler, the manufacturer, the shareholder, maybe, the assembly worker, the inventors of the thousands of parts, the designers of the steering wheel, wheel covers, sound systems, the diggers of the iron ore, the makers of the glass and plastic, the manufacturers of the paint and tires, the drivers of the many delivery trucks, the manufacturers of the delivery trucks. Whoops, I better stop before I get too carried away, but I'm sure you get the point I'm making. Once I accepted the premise that everything is working out for everyone, then I was able to allow myself to let the floodgates to my financial well-being swing almost wide open. And from that decision, I went on to purchase a string of luxury vehicles, always knowing I was passing potential well-being onto anyone who was open to receive it. And so, as I read this preface, I'm seated at my front desk, and Esther is working at her rear office desk in our $2 million tour bus. And I remind myself often that this vehicle has brought some degree of pleasure to not only us, but to the thousands of others who had a hand in and earned money from its creation. At any rate, I give you these personal examples to let you feel the long-term power of the adoption of just one good idea, as well as the dynamic value in the recognition and resolution of just one flawed premise. This Vortex book has been planted with good ideas that are available to you to transplant into your own life experience. And it also recognizes a string of flawed premises, any one of which, if it's been ruling your life, you can now decide to resolve and replace with a premise that best serves you. Esther and I are so pleased to participate in this co-creative adventure with you and with Abraham, and we look forward to the joy that you are about to receive as you play with the many processes and perspectives embedded in these teachings. And we love you. Jerry and Esther.